Were you fully here when the collect was prayed? Did you pay attention to the words of the opening collect and what we prayed for? In case you momentarily zoned out, we prayed that God would grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't think we really want that. I don't think we really wanted to pray that prayer, asking God to grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. At least I didn't. Maybe you all want to gladly suffer shame and loss, but I don't want to suffer shame and loss. And if I do suffer shame and loss, I doubt that I will do it gladly. I can't really even imagine suffering shame and loss gladly. And I feel fairly confident in asserting that most of you feel the same way about that. If we're honest, we might acknowledge that we don't really do well with inconvenience, much less real shame and loss. We probably, thankfully, do not have a lot of experience, real experience, in the shame and loss department. So maybe that's what this prayer is all about. Praying that an unimaginable transformation can happen to us in our very souls. Praying that through our experience with Jesus, we will be entirely transformed. So that the imaginable will not only be imaginable, but that it will be possible. That if and when we are faced with shame and loss, we will do so gladly. Because Jesus first suffered shame and loss for us. Still, I would rather avoid shame and loss altogether, just skate through life mar-free. But that is not the model, is it? We continue with Jesus on the way to the cross. We continue with Jesus, God, on the way to total shame and loss. And we must ask ourselves, why would we expect to be spared such things when God himself was not? Jesus, like us, questions briefly. He, in a side of sorts, says, "What should I say? Father, save me from this hour?" And we secretly say, "Yes, say that. Be spared. Don't take us with you on this road. If you're spared, then we will be too." But we know that he will do the hard work. He will walk the road that leads to crucifixion. That Jesus will be killed like a common criminal. And as our collect says, with an instrument of shameful death. And yet, we are here. Why would anyone come here for this? Why would anyone in this day and age subject themselves to the retelling of this gut-wrenching story? Moreover, why would anyone in his or her right mind pray that we might gladly suffer shame and loss? There's something wrong with this picture. It's just not right. And what we hear or have heard after we prayed this difficult prayer in the words of Isaiah and in the words of Paul's letter to the Corinthians and in the words of the Gospel of John, and what we are told in these words is that there is more to this thing than Christianity, than suffering and loss. Yes, there will be suffering and probably even shame and certainly loss. But this is not the end of the story. We're not left in the shame and the loss. Isaiah reminds, like the psalmist in Psalm 139, that the Lord has called me before I was born, while I was in my mother's womb, he named me. We are not random. Our lives are not random. There is a purpose. Even in the times that seem unredeemable, there is redemption. There is purpose. On a day like today, where more acts of terror have shaken our world, we might be tempted to fall into despair, or worse, even rage and a desire for revenge and retaliation. But that would be an affront to the Prince of Peace, the very one who died on the cross to save us from our sins and teach us how to model life-giving love. We must remember that Jesus said that we should love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. He prayed for those who had him killed, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Our rage and base desire to retaliate and see revenge are not of Jesus, and do not show the world that we are followers of the King of Love and the Prince of Peace. We're given perspective in our reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. If we didn't know the whole story, our being here would be foolish indeed. If we didn't know that the story doesn't end with the cross, that violence and hatred do not have the last say, even the power of death does not prevail. If we did not know that, then our prayer to gladly suffer shame and loss would be nothing more than masochistic. But we do know the whole story. And we know that there is new life beyond the cross. And we know that Paul is right when he says that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And that those without faith, this whole thing looks entirely foolish. But we're here. And as uncomfortable as we may be with the idea of praying to gladly suffer shame and loss, we know that when we do so for the sake of Christ, we'll find ourselves resurrected to new life. Let it be so. Amen.